Thank you, Grant. I don't know about you, but I'm delighted about the young leadership that's coming up through this church, and I'm just really proud of them. We're continuing this morning our study of Simon Peter. If you have your Bible or Bible app, please turn with me to Matthew 14, 22 through 32. It says this: "Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, where he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills to pray by himself. Night fell when he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, 'It's a ghost!' But Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage. I am here.' Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. 'You have so little faith,' Jesus said. 'Why did you doubt me?' When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. 'You really are the Son of God,' they exclaimed." As we continue this morning our study of Simon Peter, we start with this encounter of Jesus that had come at the end of a very long day. Jesus had received word that his cousin John the Baptist had died, and he went away to grieve over the loss of his cousin. He needed some time, some space. And so he got in a boat with his disciples, and he went to an isolated spot. But someone saw him while he was on the lake. And you see, the word spread that Jesus was there, and so people started gathering up their friends, their family who were sick, who were injured, who needed help. And they brought them, and they wanted to see where Jesus had gone. And so when Jesus arrived at the shore, he discovered that there were already people there gathered to ask for his help. Now, Matthew says that Jesus had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. All day, Jesus pushed aside his own grief, his own need for solitude, his own need for quiet, and he took care of the needs of those who had come seeking him. So when evening came, the disciples came to Jesus and told him to send away the crowd to get food in the villages. Basically, they said, it's time for these folks to go home and eat. But Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and this is the story where he miraculously multiplied them so that 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, ate and were satisfied, and there was food left over. And then Jesus told the disciples to go to the boat on the other side of the lake. He sent the crowd away. He sent the disciples to cross the lake. And he went to be by himself to pray and to deal with his postponed grief over his cousin's death. And that's where we pick up the story this morning. Meanwhile, the disciples, they're out on the water, and they're straining at the oars. They're trying to make progress against the wind and the waves. I mean, remember, the 4 of the 12 disciples were fishermen. And so they would have spent hours on the lake in all sorts of the conditions. 11 of the 12 were from Galilee. And when you live by a lake, you become familiar with boats. So this would not have been unfamiliar to them. The conditions on the lake were difficult that day, but they would not have been out of the ordinary. You know, there's another incident in the Bible where Jesus is sleeping and the disciples are battling a storm, And on that occasion, they were so fearful that they woke Jesus up. But this is a different incident. And the Bible seems to point that this storm was not outside of their abilities. And as fishermen, they knew what to do, but they were still battling the wind and the waves. Now, the Gospel of Mark says that on the fourth watch of the night, they saw Jesus walking to them on the water. And so the way it would work with fishermen at that time, let's say from 6 to 9 would be the first watch. And so they would put up their sail and try to make progress and try to row. And then maybe the second watch was 9 to 12. And so maybe they were still rowing, fighting the wind, fighting the waves. And then from 12 to 3, the third watch, some of them would rest, but others would keep going. And by the time that Jesus caught up to them in the fourth watch, it was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Scripture tells us. So I want you to think, they had been rowing at that point for 8 or 9 hours, and they had gone about 3, maybe 3.5 miles. This would have been exhausting. And when they weren't rowing, they tried to sleep, but who could sleep on a boat in a stormy sea other than Jesus, right? It's not easy to do. And so by the time that Jesus caught up with them, they were tired. I imagine they were anxious, and they were wondering how much longer this was going to take. You know, that fourth watch is a hard watch, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It's the most dangerous time of day for people to drive because of sleep-related accidents in our time. It's difficult to stay awake during those hours before dawn. When the sun comes up, all of a sudden, maybe you have more energy. But from 3 to 6 is a hard time. You know, factories with night shifts have their highest rates of accidents in those 3 early hours of the morning. We just don't think as clearly during that time. And our senses aren't as heightened at 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. We're more tired. And in those pre-dawn hours that the disciples were on the water, that's when they saw Jesus walking towards them. While they were on a boat in the middle of a lake, in the middle of a storm. Now, in biblical times, no one knew how deep the Sea of Galilee was. It was deeper than any amount of ropes that had been dropped trying to measure it. They would anchor the ropes with rocks, and they would drop them as weights, but they had yet to reach the bottom. And so some people believe that it was endlessly deep and that it was actually a portal opening up to an underworld. And because of that superstition, then the disciples being scared might make a little more sense. Because if you think about the legends of that time, the superstitions of that time, that sometimes because the lake was a portal, that ghost would escape from the underworld. And so maybe they were worried a spirit that just looked like Jesus was there. And here he comes in the fourth watch of the night when they're tired, when they're not rested, when they're already thinking about these superstitions, and they see him walking on the sea. Now that should have been reassuring. I mean, Jesus could climb into the boat and they could complete their journey. The disciples would once again just be amazed at what Jesus could do. But Simon Peter was not satisfied with hearing Jesus tell him not to be afraid. And he answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Why did he ask that question? Why was he not satisfied with Jesus telling him not to be afraid? Didn't he recognize Jesus' voice? I imagine it must have been difficult to hear with the wind and the waves. I mean, he could have shouted to him, and the words could have been lost over the water. In those conditions, it might not have been easy to recognize a voice or even to recognize a person by sight. And so Peter wanted confirmation that if it was Jesus, that he would show himself. And so he said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now that phrase, if it is you, translates a little differently. We would say it as, since it is you. Does that change it for you? Since it is you. So there was an element of faith in what Simon Peter was saying. And Simon Peter wanted Jesus to do a miracle. You think they had just fed the multitudes. He had seen Jesus that very day perform a miracle. And so he wasn't just sitting back, though, this time and waiting for Jesus to do something miraculous. This was Peter asking Jesus to help him do something miraculous. And so he says, Lord, if this is really you, tell me to come and walk on the water with you. I don't want to just see you walk on the water. You call me and you command all creation and have me walk with you. And you think about that. What this is saying with Jesus walking on the water is that all creation is under the authority of Jesus. Now, the disciples at that point, they had seen Jesus do all sorts of things. They had seen him heal. They had seen other miracles. So they wouldn't have been surprised by that. Not anymore. And then Jesus had told them, I give you the power to do what I've been doing. And maybe this was what made Peter think to ask this question, to find out if the person on the water was Jesus. Jesus not only did impossible things, but you see, he gave the disciples the power to do impossible things. And so Jesus shouted back to him and he said, come. Come and do what I'm doing. Come and do the impossible. It's one thing to say you'll do something. It's another to actually do it. You can say that you're going to jump off a high dive, but until you're up there looking down, that makes the situation a little scarier. You can say that you want to skydive, but until you're standing in a plane with that parachute looking out, will you really do it? So Jesus says, Simon Peter, come. And the boat is heaving up and down, and there's wind, and there's waves. And Peter put one foot out of the boat, and then the other. And where were his eyes focused? I imagine they were focused on Jesus at that point. And so he started to walk on the water. But then the scripture says that he noticed the wind and he became afraid and he started to sink. I think it's an interesting bit of narrative there. If you stepped out of a boat onto the water, would you start to sink? You would plummet, right? And it says he started to sink slowly. Why did Jesus allow him to sink slowly and not just go completely submerged in the water? And notice it says, too, that he wasn't scared of the water. He was scared of the wind. Those are two different things. He was walking on the water, but when he noticed the wind, he took his eyes off of Jesus and slowly began to sink. And so he was walking, and then he left his focus, let his focus wander from Jesus, and he started to sink. I mean, did he doubt Jesus? No, Jesus was there. Jesus was standing right there in front of him. What was the problem? The problem was he began to notice the circumstances instead of keeping his eyes focused on Jesus. He began to doubt that he was capable of doing what Jesus had invited him to do, what Jesus had given him the power to do. You know, in remembering this story, I've heard many sermons that focus on Simon Peter's failure. He started to sink, Jesus had to rescue him. But I don't want us to forget this. Simon Peter is the only one of them that got out on the boat and actually walked on the water. He had faith. Yes, maybe he had fear too and doubt, but he had enough faith to walk out towards where Jesus was. How many steps did he take in faith? The Bible doesn't tell us. Was it 10? Was it 20? I mean, it doesn't matter really, because in those moments that he kept his eyes on Jesus and he knew he had the power of Jesus allowing him to walk, he did something miraculous. And you know, this was not the last time that Peter sank and needed to be rescued. It would happen again. I think the lesson in that is that you can have doubt and you can have fear at the same time you have faith. He had enough faith to get out of the boat and walk. He took his eyes off Jesus. He started to sink. He cried out to Jesus. Jesus saved him. How many times do we repeat that same pattern in our own lives? And Jesus is there, and we're not alone, and we're not deserted, and we don't have to deal with sin and failure by ourselves, because Jesus is there to pick us up. And so, as we look at the story today of Simon Peter walking with Jesus on the water, I want us to remember this. Our failures, our sins, our mistakes is not an excuse to not try to get out of the boat. Simon Peter got out of the boat. He stepped out to do what was difficult, what seemed impossible, because it was Jesus who had called him. And it's still Jesus who is calling each and every one of us here today. And we have the gift of grace of our Redeemer, of Jesus. He's given us freedom, and it's not through us, but it's through Christ that we can do things we never thought possible. Forgive in a way that's just not fathomable. Love in a way that just doesn't seem humanly possible. All of those things are not by our power, but by the power of Jesus. And that's the lesson today of Simon Peter. Not that he began to sink, but that he walked in faith, and when he started to sink, he knew who to cry out to. And the question for us this morning is, do we? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the story of Simon Peter and Jesus. We thank you that we have a record of these events and just how incredible they are in still teaching us today. We thank you that we don't have to be perfect to follow you, that we don't have to be flawless, that we can fail, and when we do, you're there to keep us from sinking. God, we ask that you give us the faith of Simon Peter, and we thank you for the continued love and grace you give us through Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite up, it seems like the last year we have added so many new people to staff. It is an exciting time for us. And so this morning I want to invite up Reverend David Steveline. Come on up here. I want to introduce you to him. David is our newest, give him a wave, I know, is our newest staff member. He is our associate pastor of membership care, and you say, what does that mean? It means he is taking care of folks who are sick, homebound communion, nursing homes, hospital visits, and just loving people and praying for people. Is that a good synopsis?
That is.
Good. David is originally from Baltimore, and he and his wife Alma, who is also here with us today, they moved to Mississippi in 1998 for him to become the director of the library services at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson. And while he was there, he also taught Greek and preaching. And he then decided, because he was part of a church called the Free Methodist Church, that he wanted to serve in the United Methodist Church. And so he went through the process to do that. He served in the Brookhaven District and also taught Greek at Belhaven. So he is our resident Greek expert. So if you got a question, You go to Dave, not to me. And so Dave and Alma retired to their home in Clinton. We have called him out of retirement, and I'm so glad that they are here. And so after the service, we're going to ask if Alma will come up too. I want you to come up and welcome them. They came in a little late because Dave sings in the choir. And so he finished his duties there and came over here. But we're going to get him back over here sometime this spring for him to preach and for you to get to meet him. But welcome, David Steveline. Thank you. As you go into this next week, I want you to just think, if you were in the story of Simon Peter, who would you be? Would you be Simon Peter having the faith to step out? Would you be the people weary from rowing so hard and feeling like you're not getting anywhere? Would you be the person in the boat that's just tired and watching the others? And what would it take for you to step out and believe that Jesus can have you walk on the water? I'll see you next Sunday.